What's the name of this podcast?
Amy versus Brandon, episode 1, A Rough Beginning.
You done coughing?
I'm done.
You're done coughing. So I can introduce the podcast
for now.
For now, that's good. All right, yeah. So welcome to the so far unnamed podcast from Brandon Blackburn Dwyer.
And Amy Dammel.
We are rock stars here at China Radio International.
Well, I'm kind of a rock star.
That's true.
You do newsy things.
I do. I am on the nerdy side. I do sort of go, oh, all day long, there's really interesting news. And Amy goes, no, not so much.
And I'm like, yeah, let's listen to some new Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and I go, who?
Yeah.
Exactly. So pretty much that's the theme of our podcast, that I'm going to be trying to get Amy to engage with news, and as such, also you, and she is going to get me to engage with ridiculous other things.
Cool things.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
The things that you actually care about when Brandon's done talking.
Oh, right. Well, generally when Brandon talks, people just fall asleep, so it's good.
Right. Well, so we're going to let him start things off.
Oh, yes. Well, speaking of sleeping here, I had trouble sleeping basically all the last week because of the air quality here in Beijing. Mm. Amy and I live in the wonderful land of Beijing, where you can literally taste the scrumptious air that is around you and cough. Just like, Amy, oh, there you go. Oh, it's like a sound effect, people, and she should stop.
Oh, yeah. Okay, no, sorry.
But no, but seriously, air quality here, if you're in America listening to this, or really anywhere else in the world that's actually not called China, you really don't understand bad air until you live somewhere with it. Everyone goes, oh, yeah, we should really be pro-environmental. I have become the biggest proponent of clean air and environment living in China because every day I walk out and taste the air.
Mm.
And on Saturday, the pollution index literally hit over 900. And as a comparison, in New York City, they considered a health hazard to children when the index hit 75. And here in China, it was over 900.
Yeah, it was off the charts. Like, they can't even measure it anymore. I looked out my window on Saturday, and I actually went to the cupboard, grabbed a knife, and I cut the air.
I think you could have.
Yeah.
It is good. I mean, I looked out. It looked like snow. It looked like people were like driving their cars through tiny little mist covered snow.
I'm surprised you could even see the cars.
You can't. And it's actually funny. When I was here a couple years ago, I used to measure how bad the air was by how many buildings I could see down the street.
Mm.
And if I could see two buildings down the street, I was like, oh, it's not a bad day. And on basically Saturday, I could not see across the street to the building across. I could see the outlines of it vaguely. But it's atrocious. It gives you headaches. It's terrible. And what I love here in China is that everyone, like, freaked out. And then, like, Li Keqiang, who's the vice premier here and going to be the premier in March, he basically came out today, and he's the first senior official to comment on it. And what did he say? He said, we will make it better.
How?
I know. Well, but that was the thing. And then everyone was like, oh, that's nice. Really, make it better? And he was like, yeah, because it is bad. And we're like, we get that, but what are you going to do?
But you know what? That's a big step, actually, for the Chinese government to admit that it's bad or that it is pollution, because so many times I've heard, oh, it's just cloudy today.
It is just cloudy. That's what they say. They say it's fog coming up from the pollution.
Lots of fog.
lots of fog. And it's not even smog. It is straight up fog. I mean, on a serious note, Peking University released a study that said 8,500 people will die in the next year in Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Xi'an, those four cities, directly related to the pollution.
Mm.
Forget all of the, like attributing to other health issues, but people functionally dying for really no other reason than pollution.
Or did they say whether those people were all going to be foreigners or...
I think if they could... No, if they could be all Japanese, then they'd be fine with it. That's actually the plan, folks. That's actually the plan. They're trying to pump it out of China's east coast and then blow it towards Japan.
Actually, that is exactly what is happening.
It is. There are giant fans. Those wind farms they tell you are wind farms, they're farms for wind.
Yeah, they're not collecting the wind. They're blowing it out towards Japan.
Exactly. Because if you're in China, you hate Japan, pretty much.
Right. Well, let's go on to our next story, which is also kind of rooted in science-y things, about Kanye West. Nielsen has measured his popularity over the years, and it turns out that his popularity is declining since dating Kim Kardashian, and especially since she announced her pregnancy.
Well, first of all, we have to remember that Kanye West was once popular.
Yeah, actually. He was very popular around the time that he released 808s and Heartbreaks.
But that was like 10 years ago.
No, that was 09.
Oh, okay. Well, it felt like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Kanye West is one of those people that I think is incredibly talented, but is so full of himself, it is ridiculous. He released one of the... What was the poster to his album had him in, like, the Jesus crown?
Yes, actually, that was kind of when his popularity was on the rise.
On the rise. And I think people saw that and went, now I don't like that guy. Because I remember...
No. He got more popular after that. I'm telling you, there's an actual chart that goes with this story. It's not just like, you know, all entertainment-y light fluffiness. There's a graph and a chart. It's a like and dislike. And basically, his popularity increases until about 808s and Heartbreaks. And then when he crashed Taylor Swift's AMA speech or VMA speech, that's when his popularity sunk to like 1%.
That was a mistake. Though I have to stretch my brain to remember who Taylor Swift is. I think that anytime you crash...
Seriously?
No. So I kind of know. She's hot. I know that she's hot. All That's right. pretty much Fair. The only thing Good I'm enough. Aware of. And he did look like a giant douchebag doing that. It was terrible.
Yeah.
But what I love about this chart is it does have a very distinctive downward trend about the time he dated Kim Kardashian and now Preggers, bringing another joyously fell of himself person into the world, female or male. I mean, really, could we talk about the Antichrist for a moment? Here, really combining the egos of Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, I think we've reached like ground zero of ego baby.
So your definition of the Antichrist is just a big ego?
Well, I would assume the Antichrist has a big ego. I mean, you know, right. They got a big responsibility.
Okay, fair enough. Well, if Kanye does have a big ego, then dating Kim Kardashian was actually the wrong thing, because the Nielsen ratings also showed that all of the other Kardashian sisters' boyfriends have declined in popularity since dating the Kardashians. So there's like this curse.
But like her other boyfriends also declined in being good at the jobs they had when they dated Kim Kardashian, which I think was much more of a concern. I'm a sports fan, and watching Lamar Odom and Reggie Bush have no career post Kim Kardashian on the court or on the field, I was much more concerned about that.
Well, if you were dating Kim Kardashian, wouldn't you be just a tad bit distracted?
You would, and I think that really brings the whole new meaning to leave it all out on the field, and I think they left it all in the bedroom. And I think I've seen the video where Lamar Odom leaves most of it in the bedroom.
I think a lot of people have seen a lot of things from Kim Kardashian's bedroom that we would rather have left in there.
Probably not, but another disaster that people here are seeing. Now, this is when we turn to the serious news of the day, because going from Kim Kardashian ending the world with the Antichrist baby, it's important to go to Molly ending its particular existence with France intervening here. Folks, if you haven't been paying attention to the news, French forces intervened in Mali as rebel forces from the northern half of Mali invaded the southern half. Now, you're going, wait, but they invaded from the northern half to the southern half. Yes, the international community has stood by for almost a year while rebels controlled two-thirds of this country, all the while planning a intervention. And the UN Security Council said the earliest the intervention could happen was September of 2013. September. Mm. And then overnight, because, you know, the UN always gets things right, France decided, because the rebels looked, you know, a little too angry, that they would intervene on Saturday of this weekend. And now they're basically, like, in it. And now everyone else in the world's like, well, but we were supposed to do this in September. And France is like, well, we wanted to be early. And that seems to be what they're doing. And that was my terrible French accent.
That was terrible. That accent was terrible. Just terrible.
Oh, thank you, Miss Minnesota.
Miss Minnesota. That's me. Well, I was going to say that maybe France was just trying to, like, one-up the U.S.
I think so. I think they were like, America invaded Iraq with absolutely no reason, so at least we have sort of a reason.
Like, this is kind of like your mulligan, right? You get one invasion that's not sanctioned by the UN, and...
Really? Really? Well, no, but this one was sanctioned by the UN, technically.
Well, okay, you get one invasion that the UN wants you to wait on.
I guess, but if we're really talking about France, shouldn't we be, like, considering all of the 1800s and their colonial era,
oh,
their mulligans?
Gosh.
Like, I mean, really, on some level, I mean, really, how well have former French colonies done? Central African Republic in chaos, Mali in chaos, Libya in chaos.
Yeah, but that's past the statute of limitations.
Oh, there you go. That's the thing. They're so annoyed that people don't hate them enough that they thought going into an Islamist country and invading would be a good idea now.
Ah, well, you know what? Maybe we could plot them next to Kanye West on this graph and chart here and do like and dislike and see where France is.
I think you could also do survivability of French citizens in Northern Africa and you would see the chart going down. I mean, really, it's like France looked around and were like, you know what? America invading Vietnam, totally a good idea getting stuck there for 15 years. America, you know, the United Kingdom invading Afghanistan in the 1920s, totally a good idea. The Russians invading in 79, totally a good idea. And America invading 2000, all of these look like such good ideas. We want to get in on some of that.
Yeah, well, you have to do the mistake yourself. You can't learn from others' mistakes.
I guess, but this is a country that pulled out of Afghanistan saying we don't want to put our troops in harm's way. And now joyously, entered.
We want to put our troops in another harm's way.
Really? Yeah, which is good. Hey, look, I think they should have invaded, but this was not the right plan, not the right time. And like, they're bombing people, and they're like, oh, it'd be really nice if we had some ground troops to actually fight the people that we're bombing. And like, the rest of West Africa's like, we're getting there. We were told September, we're getting there. Come on, this is Africa time, man. We were going to be late. We were going to be there in October, and you want to go early? What is this? What is this new European time?
Well, it's all about timing. You know, they won't be getting any help from the United States, though, because not only are we still engaged in Afghanistan, we have decided not to build the Death Star.
That is disappointing. I think this is disappointing. I saw this petition on the White House website, and what a wonderful idea, President Obama, and how well served you've been by saying that any petition that got over, 25,000 votes, you would actually formally comment on.
Mm-hmm.
That's done wonders for your popularity, as you comment on this and a number of other joyously ridiculous ones. But the Death Star, I think what was interesting is the petition talked about job creation. And I think it's sad that America no longer wants to reach for the stars and no longer wants to reach for really employing people and doing really amazing things. Like
to make the Death Star?
Well, I mean, could we rename it the incredibly terrifying star? Would that be better?
No, that would actually not be better.
It's not a branding issue?
It's not a branding issue. There were 35,000 signatures to petition the White House to start building the Death Star. And I think that this is kind of what the guy who writes the responses has been, like, dreaming of since he got this job. It's clear that he crafted this response so elaborately that he is not only a Star Wars geek, but, like, has been waiting for the opportunity to make a joke press release response.
I think anytime you work for the White House, you are always waiting for your moment to make a joke. But I would say 35,000 people, is it a coincidence this happened in the same month that Colorado was allowed to smoke marijuana in public? Do you think that, like, 35,000 people saying totally a Death Star would be an awesome idea and legalize marijuana? No connection?
Yeah, because no one was smoking pot before that.
Yeah, that's true. But now they can tell everyone, because anyone that signed this had to be smoking pot. Apparently, it would have costed $852 quadrillion. I think that this, actually, you know what this was? This was a massive attempt to give Republicans a heart attack. They don't want to spend money. And
where's,
like,
your fiscal cliff now?
Right. And that's what the Death Star would have done. It would have been the fiscal Death Star.
Ooh. Maybe that's what they should have named the fiscal cliff instead.
I like it. I like it. Good stuff.
That's where the branding problem was.
But speaking of the spending stuff here, now we have other money that the U.S. government apparently does want to spend. After clearing the fiscal cliff and deciding to just basically ignore the fact that it had agreed to cut spending by a ridiculous amount, they've now decided to spend nearly $60 billion rebuilding Northeast America after Hurricane Sandy, which, coming from New Jersey and New York, I'm actually okay with that. I think that the federal emergency money should be spent on a very tragic incident. It is the second most expensive storm in American history, only beaten out in terms of real terms by Katrina. So I think that money should be spent here. But what was incredibly ridiculous about this whole thing was the Republican approach to it. They just will use anything to try to, like, hit Obama over the head. They're like, oh, you want aid for people in need? Well, we're going to want cuts to healthcare and Medicare. And he was like, these aren't what?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like those two things go together, or one should be at the expense of the other.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
And also, isn't this kind of delayed for Sandy?
It is. Funding for Katrina,
like,
was...
I thought we were done with that.
I know. Funding for Katrina came a week later, within a week, and it's been months. It's been months. And everyone, you know, said that President Obama, President Bush, you know, how delayed he was. FEMA didn't show up for 5 days. Well, what about Congress? I mean, Congress and the Republicans haven't shown up for months.
It's always Congress's fault, and then it's always the White House's fault, and then it's always Congress's fault. I get confused.
But wait. Like, this is important here. Republican Representative Jeb Hensarling, I don't know, he's from Texas, I don't care. Guy from Texas with the name Jeb, not a good combination, first of all. But in an opinion piece in the Washington Times, asked whether the bar for disaster funding was continually being lowered. He said, quote, as we continue to borrow more than 30 cents on the dollar, much of it from the Chinese, can and should the federal government continue to fund restoration of private homes, businesses, and automobiles. Really? From Texas? From Texas, a country, a state that has received massive amounts of emergency funding in the wake of massive hurricanes and dust bowls and other things like that. From Texas, you're going to question emergency funding to rebuild private homes? Really?
Yeah, but it's on the East Coast. We don't care, and they're all rich and snobby up there.
And boom! That's exactly what the problem is. He was like, you know what? If this happened to Texas, we'd be spending the money right about now. But because it happened to those East Coast liberals, maybe liberals up there. And then it's like, but Chris Christie is a New Jersey governor. He's like down home with the Southerners.
Yeah, but he was all like pro-Obama during Sandy, so everyone's like, is he really Republican?
Well, I wonder why. Because he got money out of Obama. And the Republicans are like, yeah, you're not getting money, by the way. He's like, but my state, it is half underwater. That doesn't matter.
Well, then Chris Christie should just say, you just jealous. All right. We also have a story about an Oxygen Network show that will not actually be airing, which I'm a little bit disappointed about. It is called All My Baby's Mamas with rapper Shoddy Low. And he has 11 babies with 10 different women. And the show was going to be like a reality show following his unique family.
His unique family? Is that rapper talk for I have lots of children with, like, women I haven't married?
Pretty much, like, yeah. I'm not sure how you can call that, like, all of that a family.
No, I think that's why the title was appropriate. All My Baby's Mamas. Right. That's pretty much the only... That is the legal definition, actually, of what he has created. It's not family. It's just baby mamas. After baby mamas.
After baby mamas. And you know what? I think there comes a point when baby mamas just isn't funny anymore.
No, I think that's why this show was ridiculous. Like, first of all, Amy, do you actually watch the Oxygen Network?
No,
of course not. Nobody watches the Oxygen Network.
I kind of do sometimes.
Oh, you do? What do you watch on the Oxygen Network?
Well, like, sometimes they play really crappy Lifetime movies, and when you're like laying in bed on a Saturday night or like Saturday morning and there's nothing else to do, sometimes you just get caught up in these, like,
what? You watch Lifetime reruns on Oxygen? I mean, like, you are the Death Star of television watching.
I'm not saying that this is my preferred television network.
This is your Saturday morning
cartoons?
But I'm
not going to say that I haven't watched it.
This is your Saturday morning cartoons as an adult.
Kind of, yeah. What? Like,
wow.
Yeah.
That is terrifying.
Right?
That is terrifying. That's why you wanted All My Baby's Mamas. I just wonder who is still watching the Oxygen Network.
You know what? I want to know why the Oxygen Network thought that this was a good idea in the first place. Because the Oxygen Network is a network for
women.
I don't, but maybe, like, it's not real. I mean, it's for a specific kind of women. And I think that the ones who watch it must hate their lives a little bit, right?
I think unfortunately, and like, Lifetime does some great programming, but I think that's unfortunately like the whole goal of Lifetime was to make us depressed. I think as a man that has occasionally seen a Lifetime programming, I just go, wow, I'm a bad human being because I'm male. That is the entire goal of Lifetime. Now, I don't know what the goal of Oxygen is. Apparently, according to them, they said after canceling the show, All My Baby's Mamas, we will continue to develop compelling content that resonates with our young female viewers and drives the cultural conversation. Well, I think this would drive women to talk about why you shouldn't date a rapper.
Right. Well, I mean, if there's anything that women hate, it's playas, right? And this obviously is the biggest playa ever. So, not to mention, like, the racism and like all the other issues with the show, but like, why is this show going to resonate with women in the first place?
I don't think it will, but I contest the idea that women hate players. Players wouldn't exist unless women loved them. See?
You make an interesting point, Brandon Black and Dwyer.
It takes two to tango, Amy Dabo. It does. We cannot be a player unless a woman is allowing me to play.
Is that your player voice? Because it's not very sexy.
No, I don't do very well with women.
That's because you read the news.
It is. I walk up to them like, hey, did you hear what happened in Mali? And they're like, you know someone named Molly? And I'm like, no. Molly Malone? No, I'm at the country. There's a country named Molly Malone? I'm good to go.
Yeah. Well, you know who is thinking about women? Saudi Arabia.
They are. Saudi Arabia, loving women. This is the day that, Amy, I'm going to convince you to move to Saudi Arabia because being a woman in Saudi Arabia is awesome.
Really?
So awesome.
You only have to cover most of your body, but you don't have to cover your eyes.
Apparently not. So all you need is eyeshadow. That's really an economic savings. That's what it is in Saudi Arabia. It's also the land of All My Baby's Mamas, but there they actually have a name for it, and it's called My Harem. like that's what they show. Rapper Shaw harem. That's what Oxygen should have called it.
This is a perfect pitch for the Oxygen Network.
I know, I know. Move to Saudi Arabia, let the Oxygen Network film. What is apparently this major move? The king of Saudi Arabia, yes, a country that still has a king, making it awesome, that's not named the United Kingdom, which who doesn't have a king right now? They just have a queen. But that wouldn't happen in Saudi Arabia.
Charles might disagree.
Ooh. He's still a duke.
Well, technically, yeah, but he's just counting those days.
Yeah, whatever. he's never going to be king. But here, the women in Saudi Arabia, 20% will fill the Shura Council, which is effectively what Saudi Arabia pretends is a legislature. And by that, I mean it's really an advisory board to the king that he basically ignores. And so now he can ignore it, and with women in it, so he can ignore it doubly, apparently.
Right. Because I've got a question, though. How are they going to get to work?
That's a good, actually, solid question, because they're going to have to build a separate entrance to the Shura Council building. Further, they are actually going to build a giant screen in the middle of the meeting room that will screen the men, the 80% of the council that will still be men, from the 20% of the women that will be on the council.
Okay, so they can't actually talk to each other.
Well, apparently they can.
Just through the screen.
Through the screen. It's like note passing writ large. That's what it is.
Okay.
You know, but this is the question, actually, a female friend of mine asked, what are men so afraid of? I mean, I'm afraid of women, but that's because they yell at me and have tried to light my house on fire.
Well, maybe that's what they're afraid of in Saudi Arabia.
Is it a nation of traumatized people? Is that what it is?
It might be. It might be where all of the, like, Brandon Blackburn Dwyer strikeouts go after, you know, you strike out.
Like, the United States is the land of all the people that have...
Why do you think it's so difficult to get a visa to go to Saudi Arabia? Because they don't want to see that it's... actually just like a bunch of white guys who couldn't get a date at a bar.
That must have been what it is. I'm hoping that there's somebody Islamic out there listening to our show.
Sorry.
We do apologize. But no, actually, this is a good thing in Saudi Arabia. I will say that. It's positive. I'm glad to see some movement here. But of course, in the not surprising news of the week, almost immediately, the Saudi clerics out in the streets just losing their minds. And luckily, all the women still inside, not being harassed by the clerics because, you know, they're not allowed to walk around on the streets.
Right. All right, well, let's move on to a story about what happens when you do give women too many rights. Lady Gaga recently got into some controversy, which is no big news, but she was wearing a machine gun bra.
So wait, is the news here that she was actually wearing a bra?
The news is that people are outraged after Sandy Hook that Lady Gaga would wear a bra that features assault rifles on her...
Hoo-ha's?
Hoo-ha's.
Her owls.
Her, whatever you want to call them, there were machine guns there.
Wow, I guess that really does mean she's packing a deadly weapon.
Oh,
I'm so funny. I am, particularly when it comes to shotguns and people's bras.
Mm-hmm.
No, assault rifles, excuse me. We should ban assault rifles. See, now we have something the conservatives can finally agree on. We should ban
Lady Gaga from wearing assault rifles.
Yes, and now we can get the words ban and assault rifle in the same sentence and a conservative saying it.
Now we can open the conversation.
It is, yeah, exactly. This should be the starting point for the Sandy Hook conversation in Congress.
There we go. Well, we are going to leave you with one last beautiful thing. Mwah. From Gary Busey, basically just rambling about hobbits.
Which is awesome. I think hobbits are great, and I think that I am going to call him if I ever imagine that I was a hobbit in a past life.
If you people out there have had past life regressions and feel like you might have been a hobbit in the past, you should call Gary Busey and let him know, and you can speak about hobbitism.
Hobbitism, which apparently is a belief. Gary Busey also proves that you were right, that before Colorado legalized marijuana, people were definitely smoking marijuana.
Gary Busey was smoking something a lot harder than marijuana.
I think so. I'm not sure where he thinks he is, but apparently he thinks he's in Middle Earth, which is why this clip is awesome.
No. He does not think he's in Middle Earth. He thinks that the hobbits have one up on us because they're from Middle Earth, which means they can see and hear things that we can't see and hear.
I think Busey can see and hear things that I can't see and hear.
I'm pretty sure that he can.
Well, we'll leave you with that. Listen up to that. But I'm Brandon Blackburn Dwyer.
And I'm Amy Dammel. Thanks for joining us for this unnamed podcast.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Middle Earth, land of the hobbits. A land that's great to visit, but you have to know how to get out once you've broken the barrier and crossed the line of hobbit land. Little hobbits with their pointed ears, not very big. Wide underwear, but very short because their legs aren't long. And I don't know what their male or female apparatus is like, but you know it's got to be working in some way because there's little hobbits coming from birth. You imagine having a team of hobbits going in with you to clean cockroaches out of a house. They'd be gone in 30 minutes. Those hobbits like to use cockroaches for games, They like to make necklaces out of them. They like to put hair pieces of cockroaches dead in their head. That way they feel like they're giving to nature. Hobbits are special. They can see and hear things we can't hear. Because Middle Earth has a different kind of electronic, spiritual and physical and mental and emotional energy going through it. So the hobbits got one up on us on that. Doggone hobbits, they're so cute. Can't tell the boys from the girls, which must make it exciting for them. You know, just find out what that apparatus says. Girl or boy? And they travel in packs of four, because you never know what a hobbit's going to do when a hobbit's here alone. He can't do it all by himself. So he's got three guys to help him. That's why they always get things done efficiently and quickly and to the T. They make a point without making it. Because that's what a hobbit does. If you people out there have had past life regressions and feel like you might have been a hobbit in past life, let me know it. And we'll speak about hobbitism. Pray for the best, prepare for the worst. Here comes the hobbits.